Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 453. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I have a computer that works, but it still sucks.
Okay, we'll get into that. Hold that. Jeff is here.
I have a computer that doesn't work, but it's from like 2010. So that's
not surprising.
Why would it?
It hasn't worked in years, Jeff.
Yes.
And Earl is here.
I have several computers that work. I have a problem.
Maybe you could lend Jeff one.
Sounds like Jeff needs a computer, too. I have several that work, too, but the one I really want to work is the one that I'm having problems with.
I decided what I would do, like, if I bought a new computer, like what direction I would even go. Like, it's daunting. I can't deal with it.
Get one that works is usually the big criteria.
Yeah, step one.
Like, do I want gaming? Like, do I want a gaming PC or do
yes,
I
you do.
Do I want,
you
a,
want a gaming PC?
Do I want a PC? Do I want a fucking iPad? Like, what do I want? What am I doing here?
I don't know what iPad came from there. So.
I get where you're coming from, Tony, with the Jeff wants a gaming PC, but we've seen how technology treats Jeff with stuff that is enclosed. Like
this is true.
Four and the Xbox One. I don't know if a gaming PC is for him, where he'd actually have to tinker with like settings and stuff on occasion,
like what I'm doing right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeff, you can stick with console gaming.
I love it. It's fine.
I mean, it's a shame that you'll never get that taste of good strategy gaming that Tony recommends, but.
I'm sure you're disappointed.
No.
All right. What have you guys been playing? Jeff, I think you said that you... Did you finish Team Sonic Racing?
Yeah, I actually finished it earlier today.
Okay. So how'd that end up? Did your opinion change on it since last week? Or
not really, like, I like that game. It feels kind of like I'm kind of depressed by the fact that it seems like nobody gives a shit about it. It's like it's a good racer, dude. Like it's a fine game.
I think it's in a shit location, like coming out just weeks before
True.
Crash Team, which I think people view more fondly than Sonic.
True. That's true, and I said that last week. But it's also like, you know, it's not super crowded period either, like, you know, and then there was some kind of like a month between the two, so it's just like, I feel like I'm the only person that bought the game, but I swear to you guys, it's a good game. Like, it's fun.
It's also like 20% off. I think it's down to like $30 on Amazon already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's totally worth $30, dude. Like, it's solid. Like, and it sucks because I know, like, say if I have friends come over, they'll just be like, let's just play Mario Kart. But it's like, dude, I've been playing that since, like, 2013 or something. Like, you know, that game's been out for a while fucking now. So it's just, like, nice to have something new.
Yeah, but it's also something about being familiar with something. I think, I could be wrong. I think part of it was just that they did the Sonic and All-Star Transform racing games. And I think changing that direction turned a lot of people off to it, even if it's a better game.
Yeah.
And I think because it's not a traditional kart racing game, it's like this weird team-based racing game that it's a hard sell, but it does seem like if you get into it, it's really fun.
Yeah, like, I understand and agree with all that. I actually think Transformers is a better game, but, you know, the learning curve here is not very steep. It's like, you're going to understand, like, the team mechanics and all that within, like, a race. Like, you're like, oh, I got it. And they're actually, like, it's a nice little addition. Like, honestly, if the next Mario Kart did that, everyone would be praising it for breathing new life into the genre. Like, oh, it's fucking, this is a nice little clever spin on it. And here, just because it's Sonic, everyone's just like, yeah, whatever, dude. No one cares. But, I liked it.
That's Sonic's lot in life.
So, like, I basically beat, like, this story mode, which, you know, Mario Kart does not have, where it's like, you know, you're, like, moving around a map. There's, like, you know, 1-1-1, 1-2, 1-3, you know, and, like, different types of races and events. some of the events kind of suck, to be honest, compared to like just racing. There's one that's pretty late in the game, level 6-3, that sucks ass. Where it's like, it's called Daredevil event, and it's like there's like these posts along a track, and you have to like come as close as you possibly can to the post without touching it, and you get more points the closer you come to it without touching it. And like, you know, they're like every 20 feet on the track, right? And like, you basically have to like do this one, like you basically have to like hit every post but not actually hit it, you know, like kind of be perfect, and you have to be drifting through every post in order to score enough points in order to like pass it. So there's like a couple like weird spikes in difficulty in there, but something like, I mean, I got through it, so other people will be able to too.
I do like the idea of, you know, there being these challenges or something, though. Not necessarily a shitty challenge like that, but like something different to spice it up, like, yeah, they progress.
Some of them are just like, this race is a survival race. It's like whoever's in last place, each lap gets eliminated. You know, like, those types of variations are fun. Like, it's the type of stuff, like, I honestly hope, like, in a new Mario Kart, there is, like, a kind of actual story mode like that with, like, kind of, you know, just some spins, like, variants on the formula, you know?
I mean, I get where you're coming from, but I think it won't be just because, one, like, the same thing was said with Crash Team Racing and Diddy Kong Racing. Nintendo kind of went back to it when they did what Mario Kart DS. Then they never did it again. So I don't, I mean, I hope that they do something new with 9, but who knows?
I feel like, because, like, this game is $40, right? And it has everything that Mario Kart would have. Like, it has, like, if you just want to do Grand Prix and get, you know, the Platinum Trophy and Grand Prix, you know, you could do that. But there's also the story mode on top of it that's like a good like 5 hours or so. It's like, I enjoyed it, you know, like it made it feel like more of a complete package, and it's cheaper than you know, a new Mario Kart. So I don't know. I really liked Team Sonic Racing, and especially if it's like $30, I'd say pick it up if you like kart racers.
I am like holding
Mario out. Kart Racers. Does it have Mario in it?
Maybe it's DLC down the road.
And Sonic and Mario have been seen together.
Yeah, yeah. I said this last week. I like kind of like have a thing for like the other kart racers. Just like, I don't think any of them ever is like quite as good as Mario Kart, but like I just like it as a genre, you know.
They're fun, like they're fun little arcade racers. Like,
yeah.
But Mario Kart's always the one I come back to. But
yeah, obviously. But like,
I like playing like little like chibi versions of like other series. Yeah, there was this like shitty Star Wars one back on the PS2. That like I had a ton of fun with. It's terrible, but
you talking about a pod racer?
No, it was called Super Bombad Racing, which was a kart racer, Star Wars kart racer.
Huh.
So, that'll be on your list.
But I will say this though, before we move on, like I do think Transformed is as good as anything Mario Kart has ever done. Like I think Transformed is great.
Not to defend Mario Kart, but I'm going to, is Mario Kart is the vanilla ice cream of kart racing. And that like, it's the default, and everything else is something you add to it. But vanilla is always going to be the favorite that people go back to. Like I said, since I've been around, there's been Crash Team Racing, there's been Diddy Kong Racing, you know, people said it about Mod Nation, it'll repent it. Is that, everything does something better than Mario Kart, but none of them are Mario Kart. And that comes with not just the history, but the polish that Nintendo brings to it. So, I'm happy that there are others in this field. And they do need to be better because you can't be worse than Mario Kart or you're forgotten. Like the Mickey Speedway or the Wacky Races or
Chocobo Racing
or Sonic R.
I like Mickey.
It's just that those
game too.
Those are just kind of forgotten to time.
I guess I just have an affinity for those kart racers. I recognize too that I agree with you that it's rightfully so that like Mario Kart is the most popular one, you know. But I personally really like what Sumo Digital has done with like all these Sonic Racing games. I think they're all pretty good, but I think Transforming is the best. But I think this one is like the team racing thing is kind of fun too. Like once you get used to it, like one race in, it's kind of its own kind of hook, you know.
There's two Disney kart racers.
Oh God!
At least two. There might be another one.
There's also several like Nickelodeon ones as well.
Well, there's that Nickelodeon kart racers that's on the Switch.
Yeah, I almost bought that one, but it looks pretty bad.
Jeff, you played some Castlevania too?
I did. I just
not Castlevania 2, but Castlevania as well.
No, I have not played that one yet. I might get to it, but yeah, I played through. I finished Bloodlines. The game was pretty cool, and then I played through Castlevania 3 all the way through for the first time as well. Like, I had played Castlevania 3 a bunch before, but I'd never beat it. And, dear Lord, does that game get so hard in, like, the last three levels? Like, I don't know how people, like, beat that shit on the NES. Like, that's insane. Like, you know, I have the benefit here of, like, save states, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, I played Castlevania and Castlevania 3 back as a kid. And I remember beating one of the two. But it's like Ninja Gaiden, right? Like,
It's so unbelievably cruel.
I've tried to go back to Ninja Gaiden, like, and I beat that as a kid, but going back to it now, it's like, man, if I did not have save states, like, there's no way. No way.
You'd have to play an insane amount, like, you just have to play the level hundreds of times, so, like, the one time everything clicked, like, everything, like, went right, like, real cheap shots in there, like, there's really cheap jumps, there's really cheap traps.
It's funny, because I think, for us, like, you know, coming up on that, you know, era of games, like, we only have, like, a couple games at a time, so, like, you played the shit out of them. Like, yeah. Became masters at them, and now like there's just so many options that it's like if anything gets like difficult, you're just like
meh,
yeah, moving on to something else.
It's funny though, because like this was still plenty hard, and there was still like I did learning, like there was like one boss I forgot, like he like threw like a thing that would kind of like snake up and down across the like from right to left, you know. And like I just like I finally learned, I'm like, oh, you know what, if I stand right under this window that's in the background, it always will go above me every time and it'll miss me. So it was like, you know, I like you did have to like, kind of like learn shit like that and get
good. Oh, yeah.
But like you have the benefit of like not having to play the entire fucking level over because of your mistakes. You know?
Or in like, some cases, like, you know, if you ran out of continues or whatever, like starting over from the beginning.
So it makes these games like, I don't know. It's awesome to like finally play. Like, oh, I beat Castlevania 3 finally. But like, God, like, and like, it's really cool to finally like play through like the later levels that I never got to. But my God, like, those other games are kind of like, in some ways, I respect like having to learn the pattern of a boss. But I just feel like when you put certain jumps in there, or like certain things that would like smack you in the middle of the jump, that like are kind of random, it just feels unfair. Like, it's just like, thank God for fucking save states. I'm like, that's all that this Castlevania collection has. Like, there's no rewind or anything, so that's kind of annoying. Like, I don't know, did you pick it up?
I haven't gotten it yet. No,
it's very basic, like, it's all there is a save state, but
Which is fine. Like, you can like save it and then like work your way forward and save it again. And
it actually, like, does kind of force you to learn it a little better, you know. But those games are still really awesome, just in general. Like, really love Bloodlines, playing that for the first time, and again, like, finally beating Castlevania 3 is really cool. I started Kid Dracula, and that actually is pretty fun so far. Pretty good looking game too for a NES game.
I've not played that one. I have played the Game Boy version of it.
The two Game Boy games that are on this collection are terrible. Like, especially the first Castlevania Game Boy game. Oh my god!
But the first one's rough. I don't know why
they put that on there.
It's like I played them last year, and it's going to be interesting to see how they compare to what I was playing. Like, I was, you know, I have them for Game Boy, but I was playing off a Game Boy emulator. I wonder how their emulation is, like, because that, like you were saying, like, it was choppy, and I didn't get that feel when I played it. So I'll be interested to see how, like, they match up, and maybe the emulation's just shit on it. And they're rough games anyway. The first one, in particular.
The second one actually, I think, plays a little better. Like, it's a lot faster and looks better. But right. It's just like, I don't know why I would want to play that.
It's just a history thing.
And it's just like, it just, I know, but like, you could have put on, like, you know, Rondo of Blood. I don't know, man.
Well, I feel like I saw it with the Contra one as well. Is I assume they're going to sell a second set with like more greater games.
Because I told Jeff, like, I mean, they could easily do like a Castlevania 2, Castlevania Collection 2, and a Castlevania Collection 3. Dude, like, there's so many Castlevania games.
Give me like the 3 GBA ones or whatever they did. Like, those alone. Sell that to me for $20. I want it, you know? But yeah, like, you could totally stack. Yeah, like you said. For Contra, though, I don't know what I would want for, like honestly, you give me NES Contra, that's, like, really all I really fucking wanted. Everything else is gravy, and it looks awesome. Like, I can't wait for that to come out.
Wait, so NES over Contra C or Super Contra?
Yeah, I take. Regular NES Contra to me is like the only fucking one that matters to me. That one has not been released in like forever. Like, I think it was like an extra on Contra 4 on the DS, but like it was never on the Virtual Console, like on the Wii or anything like that. You know, there's Contra on the Xbox, but that's the arcade version, which I think is not as good. So. I'm psyched. Contra, baby.
For that one game.
I mean, it's a cool package, too. Like, it has, like, I think it has a Famicom version of Contra. Whole bunch of shit like that. Like, it has, like, pro... What the fuck is, like, the British version of Contra that they had released? It was, like, edited. It's, like, Probotector or something weird like that.
Oh, I don't know. I heard they're adding a bunch of, like, extras after the fact, though, so that's pretty.
Yep, and they're actually going to do that with the Castlevania one as well, I guess. They're going to add like Japanese versions of the same games. Yeah,
That's cool. And actually, that would, I mean, maybe that's where you get Rondo of Blood, right? Because that was not ever translated over here. I think it came out as like what, Dracula X? Like the first time Rondo actually came out was like way later down the line, because it was a PC Engine game, I think, right?
Yeah, but that's English, isn't it?
I mean, that's TurboGrafx-16, but I don't think it was on TurboGrafx-16.
Really?
Not here in the United States, I don't believe so.
But it came out as Dracula X?
Yeah, the first time it was released in North America was in 2007 on the PSP.
Oh. I didn't realize that's what Dracula X was released on.
No, Dracula X was released on Super Nintendo. But that's like it's a remake of Rondo of Blood. And not considered.
But was that released in the US?
Dracula X, yes.
Yeah, okay. So kind of, right? Not really.
Well, I mean they're different games. Like
okay.
Like if you want actual Rondo, which is, everyone considers to be a better game.
It's never officially.
Yeah, that was like the first time that
released. Yeah. I want Rondo, goddammit. I've been wanting to play that game my whole life. So it's, hopefully they do a second one.
Yeah.
At least for Castlevania. Contra, I'm happy. I'm set. I don't really need to play, like, I know there are some more Contra games besides those that are on it, but I think those are good enough.
Which, now I'm looking
at... It has hardcore too, right? Like, so, like, it's a pretty decent collection.
Now I'm looking at the timeline, and the inclusion of Bloodlines over Rondo makes sense, because Bloodlines came out before Dracula X. Dracula X came out in 95 on the Super Nintendo. Bloodlines 94, and Bloodlines is the latest game on that collection. So if they were only releasing the US games, the choices they made actually do make sense. Well, hopefully we get a second collection of that. I'm down for that. Earl, you been playing anything?
Yes, I tried out Dauntless, which is that, I guess, new free-to-play, let's go with Monster Hunter type game.
Sure.
I was trying to figure out a fancy genre to call it, but it's a Monster Hunter clone. But it takes out a lot of the headaches I had with playing Monster Hunter with friends recently, as I've shared on this show before. So it's very easy to kind of group up with people. You run around in the same hub. Once you go on a mission, you all go on the same mission at the same time. So there's no need to watch a story or cutscene beforehand. The downside is it is free to play. So one, it's not as expansive as Monster Hunter is. A lot of it is pretty much the same locale dressed up in different settings. So it's like you have a grassy one, an ice one that's kind of bathed in red. And all that other stuff, and it's all pretty much the same setting, just with this different colors. And you might enter from a different angle. You hunt one specific monster per quest. You find that monster. The only issue with hunted monsters is there's no map to tell you where your friends are, so they have to shoot up flares. And it does kind of disappear after a while. So if you aren't nearby or if you don't happen to see it, you have to hope that the other people who are shooting up flares constantly for you to see, or that they get down and then you can finally see where they are on the map to kind of help revive them. But yeah, it has a very similar gameplay. You go, you fight monsters. Depending on what type of damage you do to the monsters, you know, you can break off different parts of their bodies. You can stagger them. Different parts of them will fall off. Use that stuff to go back into the town to craft gear and weapons. Use that. You get better gear and weapons. You go back to fight the same monster to, again, you know, get the stuff. Get better gear. Fight stronger monsters. Rinse and repeat. There are, what is it? I think 5 types of monsters. There's neutral, fire, ice, shock, and earth. And then each one kind of has a counter. So ice is weak to fire. Fire is weak to ice. Shock is weak to earth. And earth is weak to shock. And then neutral, I don't think there's anything either way. So, it's, you know, it's making sure you have the right weapons, making sure you have the right gear, making sure, you know, you're taking out these enemies, but you're also taking them out in style. There are different class. Again, it's very much Monster Hunter if you played Monster Hunter. So there's like a giant hammer, there's pistols, there's what I call the God of War, the chain weapons that Kratos uses a lot. There are, there's like a long sword and stuff like that. So, you know, again, you can go in with different weapons, you can go in with different gifts, that if you can go in with different elementals. You can play to the monster's weakness, or you know, like go in with their strengths. You could have something completely different that's just more powerful on your end. So yeah, it's like I said, it's pretty much Monster Hunter with with a lot of the elements simplified for easier access. I've not run into any issues with the free-to-play model in terms of, like, you're not going to progress in this game if you don't give us money. A lot of it seems to be cosmetic. Or, and I've not used this yet, the other thing I've heard is that you can, like, there's orbs you can add to your gear, and you can kind of merge those orbs in the game to get more powerful ones, and that has a real world timer on it. So, like, if you combine two level two ones, I think that's like 48 hours in real world time. And I assume you can then pay if you wanted to speed up the process. So it's kind of like, I don't know if any of you have played Warframe, but kind of like their free-to-play model where it's like, we're not going to get in the way of stuff, but we're going to hamper you. I guess you're really, really patient.
Right. Like, you can sit around for 2 days and wait for your weapon to be done, or you can pay us X amount of dollars and it'll be done quicker.
Yeah.
Got it. And I mean, there are people that play Warframe and have not put any money into it, so it's a model that can work. So,
yeah, and it doesn't look like there's anything. Again, it's only been a week. I guess my big headache right now is that it is a free to play game, and it's from a very small company. They've not really. I mean, I've not played it since I think Monday or Tuesday. They have not really been that great at scaling up. So, like, I've had to wait like 45 minutes just to go into the main menu to start the game at times, because they just kind of put you in a queue until they have space. And if they improve that, we'll be golden.
Yeah. I have heard some of, like, they've had some issues with the around their storefront and other stuff. Like, this just seems that they weren't expecting it to explode quite as big as it has. So,
yes, and I mean, it's annoying, but I won't begrudge them. It's not like they have EA and Anthem, because then you had money. It's a small company that it's a game that honestly just kind of not that it came out of nowhere. Like, we knew it existed, but in terms of, like, it's releasing kind of catching fire. I think they said they had something like 6 million people sign up opening weekend. So, yeah, I can understand why they weren't prepared to scale upwards with that.
Yeah. Play anything else?
Yes, I am going on vacation next week. So I just, I loaded up my Switch with a bunch of games. And just before we started recording, I decided to try one out. It's a game called Downwell.
Heard of this.
Right now it's like $1.50 on the eShop, so why not? And so far I'm really enjoying it. It is a vertical falling roguelike shooter. So like the name implies you're going down a well, and as you go down the well you're trying to navigate, you can jump on enemies, you can shoot them and stuff, but you're trying to get to the bottom. And then the landscape and the enemies who appear on the map change from week to week. I mean, not from game to game. It's very simple, but I just find it really charming. You're just trying to fall down and see how far you can get. Like, you get to the bottom, you complete the level, you get some type of like adium for the next stage, and you do the next one. You get through that. You can upgrade your gun. You can shotgun, laser, spreaders. Typical stuff, but again, because you are falling down, it has like this weird sense of momentum. Like, the only way to reload your gun is to actually land on the ground for a bit, but you can also, like, you can just, you can do the shooting, or you can just jump on enemies, and that also does that takes most of them out in one hit. There are some enemies that have spikes that you have to be careful of, or some that are just kind of covered that you're just gonna have to shoot. So it's knowing, trying to read the room as you're falling and getting ahead of everything that way. I'm having fun with that.
Cool. That'll be a nice game for you to have on your trip.
Yes. It's going to be a hell of a long flight, so yeah. That's going to be good.
fucking Switch has no shortage of like awesome little games too, like that. So
yeah, the other ones I got because Devolver Digital is having a sale right now is I got Gato Roboto, which is a Metroid-esque game with a cat in a mech suit. And
that's fun.
Yeah, and I think that just came out today, and it's like 15% off or something like that. And the other one is Katana Zero.
Okay.
So I assume that's going to be the one I save for the plane, and then all my neighbors get to hear me cuss and scream. So that shall be fun.
Yeah. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say on them when you return. Tony, you play anything this past week?
I played the waiting game.
Yeah.
So last week I was complaining about my new laptop, which didn't work at all. So I went into Best Buy and fought the man, and the man shipped me a new laptop, which arrived today. Not laptop, desktop. And I got it today, and then I booted it up. So this one actually turns on, which is awesome. It's a great feature in a computer. Unfortunately, it seems like the install of Windows is either bad or something. So the computer and I right now are at war. So we'll see who wins. Eventually, it will be me. But
just tell me again why PCs are so amazing.
Because once they actually work, it's a pretty awesome experience. But getting them to work sometimes is difficult.
Yep. Takes a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. anything else?
I didn't really play very much.
All right. I went back and wrapped up some older games. I finished Forza Horizon 3. And by finished, I mean I saw credits and played it for 10 more hours after that.
Do you have the DLC for that?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I have both Blizzard Mountain and the Hot Wheels one. I think I'm going to do Blizzard Mountain first, then do the Hot Wheels one. But yeah, like they're both of those expansions are like 5 to 10 hours of extra play.
They're great. The Hot Wheel one, I mean, they're both great, but the Hot Wheel one.
Yeah, the whole game is phenomenal. Like it's just an excellent title. Great open world racing. Great environments. The driving.
I think I like it more than 4 because of the DLC for me.
But. Yeah. 4 has Storm Island or something like that, which.
I haven't played it, so like.
Yeah.
Does that?
But yeah, like adding on this extra stuff like gives it a whole lot more. Do you know, since you have played the expansion stuff, do you know if taking pictures of the cars in those gives you a progress towards that achievement?
No idea. I don't even remember what achievement it is. Usually check achievements.
There's an achievement for taking a photo of 300 of the cars. I'm 28 away, but like I am now like it's really like takes a long time to like find a car that you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And like these new ones, like you'll be, you know, racing and off-road snow cars. And there's like a whole new set of cars for each of these as well. So I'm hoping that includes, cause I need 28 more cars and I'll pop that achievement. But yeah, Horizon 3 is excellent. A ton of fun. Yeah. I also wrapped up Assassin's Creed Origins. Finish the story in that. And what was that?
Oh no, he's gonna make a bad joke. Go on.
that game is excellent. Great storyline. Excellent kind of like view on how the assassins started. Yeah, it's a ton of fun. I'm not necessarily sure I like where Aya's, you know, character goes. At the end, but it's fine. And then there's that the interactive exploration mode, the tour mode, which is pretty cool. gives you, it drops you into areas in the game, but then takes you on like a guided tour, giving you like factual pieces of history, and like imagery, photos of actual mummies and actual statues and stuff and artwork. And that's a really cool addition. Tony, you've played Odyssey. Did they add that in Odyssey?
Oh yeah, it's in there.
Yeah, cool. It's something that's like, it's extensive too. Like there's like 100 different of these tours. It's insane. So that's one that's a lot of fun. I'll be moving on to Odyssey at some point. Kind of just need a break from open world games for a little bit, though.
It's hard. It's hard to play a couple of those in a row.
Yeah.
Dude. Like, it's commitment.
No Days Gone.
I played Days Gone, and that's and then I went into Assassin's Creed Origins. I'm good on open. I need something a little more linear and structured, which is I think Castlevania will serve for that.
That's so good.
And then I went on. So I'm very, very close to hitting 200,000 achievement points.
Oh my god!
I'm 550 off as of right now. Earlier, for a little bit now, I've had a 2 at the end of my achievements, though. It's been driving me nuts. So I searched for easy 8-point achievements. And I spent $10 on a game to get
Holy
that.
Shit, this is a problem.
Wait, it gets worse. So the game I bought was Kinect Sesame Street TV.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
This is a problem.
Wait.
It gets worse.
Yeah. So
you have to fondle Grover to get the 8-point achievement.
No, I couldn't play with Grover because if I played with Grover, I would have got a 1-point achievement and that would have fucked things up even worse.
Oh no.
So I couldn't play the segment with Grover. But anyway, I have to get this achievement, I have to play an episode and interact with parts of it so the Kinect takes pictures of me. Which is fine. I get through it all, and I'm following this guide on how to unlock this achievement, and it's not, the option to do this isn't there. Because the game was delisted.
Oh no!
And they've taken away the ability, so before you used to be able to buy new episodes of Kinect Sesame Street, you can't do that anymore, so they've taken away the journal feature. And I'm not able to do that. So
you spent $10 on a game.
I spent $10 on a game that like my kids are too old for now. And I played a half hour episode of Sesame Street and netted 120 achievement points out of it.
But not the 8 that you needed.
Not the one I needed. So now I'm pissed off and I go searching for it again, and I find a $2 game called Spareware, and the first achievement you unlock is an 8-pointer. So I could have just done this from the start. Next Sesame Street in my library, but I now have Sesame Street TV in my library. Yeah, achievements are evil. And
I think we can all agree here that Chris got what he deserved.
I did.
Yeah, I agree. Because I couldn't even tell you what my achievement score is on. I remember you saying before, though, like, it was bothering you that somehow I ended up
it drives me nuts, like, looking at that.
I kind of get it, but I would just, like, put it out of my mind. Because like, I don't really think about it, like, I don't ever actually, like, look at the achievement list and try to do that, like, I think it's cool. Like I like achievements and everything, but like I just don't. You know, it's just like whatever to me. So I give it. But what kind of
course, Jeff? You have a 0 at the end of yours. Your achievement list is not fucked up.
Yes.
Also, you have 80,170 points.
One day I'll get to.
I got way more than that, so sorry, Jeff.
I have.
Chris has got me owned, but
I buy it's
okay. My games on
the I have half of what so. Jeff has.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I think I might get 42, if that.
Here's the thing. If Switch had achievements, though, I would probably have you all beat. Because, yeah.
But it doesn't,
Well, see, if Switch had achievements, I wouldn't care. Because it's just I used to care for achievements, but I never cared for trophies. Because trophies came halfway through the PS3 generation. And I'm like, half the games I beat didn't have them at the time. So it's going to be the same thing with the Switch, where I've had it for 2 years. I'm not going to go out of my way to get stuff, because the games I've played already, I'm not going to go back and get them.
Yeah, there's a thing about, on Xbox, it's whatever achievements you have, it's kind of you built that since you've had Xbox, basically. Right.
Yeah. It's a 360, but, if Nintendo introduced an achievement system, I would not be upset with it. It just has to be better than what Sony has. I don't understand their trophy system.
I don't get that either. I think we had this discussion before about the percentages and your number. It's really strange setup.
I like the idea of the platinum trophy, when you complete the achievement list, but I don't understand, all right, this one has, four gold trophies and 7 silver trophies and 42 bronze trophies. What does that mean? What is it equal to your level? Give me a flat number.
Yeah. I feel like that's a case of trying to be different. I like the idea.
I know it's totally do something different like a trophy thing or something. Something weird.
What I thought Nintendo was going to do is kind of what they started with their mobile games, where it was you got those random, Miitomo coins and stuff like that for doing different stuff. And then you can kind of use that to get prizes, wallpaper. And I'm like, okay, that seems like Nintendo, where there's some type of prize element to it.
It'd be cool. I would not be opposed to that.
And then nothing came of that. So,
Earl, your achievement numbers is hurting me because you have a 9 at the end.
Ouch. Oh yeah, and I'm almost certain I know what game it was too. But yeah, I'm not gonna go out of my way to buy a Sesame Street game.
But you can get that one. I can ship you Kinect Sesame Street TV, and you can get that 1 point achievement by playing with Grover.
That's right. You can fondle Grover, and
I would also need to own a Kinect.
I'm not shipping you my Kinect.
I could also find a 6 point achievement, I guess.
That seems more likely.
Or I think I've said this before. I do wish Microsoft had made it so that you couldn't these Aji numbered achievements. Why couldn't they be intervals of 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever?
Right.
Not here's a 2 point achievement. Here's a 3 point achievement.
Right. I think there's a couple games that don't actually even have a full 1,000. I think they go they're 999 or something like that. 990.
There's a lot of different rules before that, because I remember it used to be that Xbox Live Arcade games couldn't have more than 200, I think.
Yeah, and then they upped it to 400, and now everything can have 1,000.
And then there are ones, and I think there are collections where some of the collections, it could be the collection itself adds up to 1,000, and then some of them, it might be the game itself adds up to X. It's really a weird system.
Yeah.
But again, compared to Sony, the big thing is you just get a fat number that goes up.
Yeah. It's just my number is 199,450. It's a growing number. The more I play, the bigger the number gets, and I understand that. This achievement is worth 25 points. That will add 25 points to my total. This trophy is gold. What the fuck does that mean?
And the one thing that they both do now, I think, is they also give you a percentage of oh, 7.6 people have unlocked this.
Yeah, so that's really cool. Where it's like, so that's one thing I like to do is, like, I'm playing through Forza right now, and it's like there's these achievements that are rare. They have like a diamond next to them. It's like I can get those, like, and I would be one of 7.9% of gamers to unlock this.
So when I beat Team Sonic Racing tonight, I was one of 6.57% or something.
There you go.
Of people that had like got that achievement in the game, which is like, that's crazy. Like,
I really like.
I dig that though. I love that. Like, it's just like, it's just a cool feature. Like, it's neat.
Yeah, because like I like looking at it, like, so the achievement for finishing Assassin's Creed Origins, it's not a rare achievement, but only 27% of people that played that game unlocked it. Like, that's an awesome stat. Like,
and yeah. I think that's where some of those stats come in, that like less than 50% of people who play video games actually beat them. It's like you start to see that with some of these achievement completion rates. It's like there are things where it's like, yeah, there's just parts of games that nobody's seen. Yep. Which I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
Yeah, it's just funny. It's like I'm just playing like the basic game and I'm getting, I'm just getting like, beat the final chapter of the game. It's like rare achievement. 6% of players have done this. I'm like, that's crazy, dude. Like 6% of people that have bought this game. Like, I'm not like playing at a super fast rate, I don't think. It's been out a couple weeks now,
Right,
and yeah, I guess most people just don't beat the game.
Like, what's mind-boggling to me is like when you look at some of these games, like these walking simulators, right? Like Edith Finch, it's a game that's only 2 hours long.
That's all it is. It's like,
and less than half of the people have finished it.
Yeah, but I mean, and I could be wrong, but you also, like, we consider stuff like PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold. I mean, one of the downsides of getting free games is that you just like, oh, this is fine, and you move on because you didn't invest anything in it.
Right. So, I touched, like, through Game Pass, I touched Dirt 4. And I only touched it to get the achievement for the rewards point. So I played it for a half an hour to unlock an achievement, and like I'll never touch that game again. Like, I have no interest in playing Dirt 4.
And then you become part of the majority of people who don't finish the game.
I'm part of the problem. Also, I have a problem because connect Sesame Street. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I understand that. And the first part of fixing is
admitting you have a problem.
So next time it'll be a relapse, I guess. all right. We are running late, but there is a little bit of news that we should probably...
There's a lot of bit of news.
Yeah. Death Stranding got a release date for November. Anybody excited?
No one saw that coming, right? Like, nobody saw that coming.
I was not... I honestly, I was thinking it was next year.
Well, it seems like the sacrifice was that The Last of Us 2 is now next year,
which I also thought, but
wait, was that like delayed or something? Or
I don't know if it was delayed, but it seemed like that. I mean, I think when Jason Schreiber from Kotaku said that, I guess that was kind of part of it, is that it's been pushed back to early 2020. And I still think it's gonna be a cross platform game, but we'll see.
I missed that, I did not see that.
Anybody excited for Death Stranding though?
I'm not a Kojima fan, so like I know everyone else is, so I'll just shut up.
No, he sucks.
What?
He sucks.
I do not worship at the altar of Kojima. I am interested in the game, like I think that the guy makes weird and interesting stuff, but I don't necessarily think his games are great. But that's just me.
Wow, I thought I was like the oddball here.
Oh no, no.
Okay, wow.
When he's like, I'd had it with him when he's like, yes, the woman needs to be mostly naked so that she can breathe through her skin. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I can't. That's too much. That's a step too far.
I mean, I'm fine with that, but
I can't.
I never was into the series that much. Like, I kind of appreciated, like, some of, like, the Metal Gear Solid games. Like, what I played a little bit of them, but yeah, I'm just like, I'm not like, oh wow, like whatever he does is amazing. So it's just like this whole like build up to this game. I'm just feeling like I don't care. It's like whatever, but I'm kind of surprised that it was this year because I know like most people thought it would be like at least next year, if not like the year after. You know, like,
well, I mean, he is notoriously late on his on his stuff, like like those Metal Gear games just took forever to come out. And I mean, maybe working under Sony and under a different, maybe they're not giving him as much of a leash. They're still obviously giving him like enough slack that he can go do weird stuff with this game, but maybe they have him reined in a little bit more under project management. And
that does not seem to be the case. It's like the other. Here's a budget, go crazy.
It's just weird that he's able to get it out like by now.
Yes, like, in what, 4 years?
You know, look at how long like 5 and 4 took. Like they, I don't know. Maybe my perception of time is off with him, but I just felt like 4 and 5 took forever, and we kept seeing them over and over again each year at E3.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, we kind of knew this because they're not technically at E3, but it was also fascinating somewhat how they did this because it was also kind of very reminiscent of how Apex Legends was announced, where they had like the Twitch stream, which just kind of shown clips all throughout. And then I got ran, I think it was like noon yesterday, the full gameplay trailer came out with the release date at the end. So, props to people who sat around for like a day just watching a live stream of nothing.
You're giving them props? They don't deserve props.
That was very tongue-in-cheek.
They are props, I think, at that point.
There are very special people.
I will play that game, but mostly as an oddity. Game Pass coming to PC. They're going to curate a list of PC games. That'll be cool. I guess we were all kind of prepared for it to show up on PC at some point. I guess they officially announced that. I don't know if those of us that already have Game Pass just like get the PC version. I'm not sure.
That would be
I hope so.
I want all their Microsoft produced RTS games.
That would be awesome, right?
I mean, Microsoft is very much going under, everything's under one umbrella type thing. So
yeah, so
you just get it.
I hope that's how that works. Earl, you have a bunch of news here as well.
Just as an aside to piggyback off of Microsoft, they also announced today that they are going to have 14 Xbox Microsoft Game Studio games at E3.
That's a lot.
We're going fucking Battletoads, man.
I guess we'll see it at E3. I mean, 14 is a big number for them, so yeah, we'll have to see what they have.
They have a lot of studios now, though. So
yeah. Yeah, I just wasn't because I expected out of these to be, I mean, I guess you could announce them, because I expected out of these to be the next system and not on the one.
Right.
I hope there's like a game or two for this fall that like an RPG or something, just like, whoa, no idea that was coming, and I'm excited for it now.
You're gonna get Gears 5.
No.
What about the Obsidian?
I mean, you are getting Gears 5, like
the Obsidian RPG,
right? And Obsidian does have a that comes out, I believe, this summer.
But that's not exclusive, right?
No, that because that was being before Microsoft bought Obsidian.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's the Outer Lands. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Is there like Firefly game?
Yeah, it's a. Yeah. It looks like Fallout, but set in space.
That's
coming. and I think Wasteland 3? Is it Wasteland 3? That is coming as well. That's now a Microsoft owned studio. But that won't be a Microsoft game, I don't think. That's another one that won't be exclusive because that was being worked on before they bought them. So I don't know. I'm excited. Mostly to see what's going on with Gears 5, and hopefully new Halo. But I'm on board to see 14 new games. That would be fun.
I'm excited for this E3. I'm always excited for E3, and then I'm always like super
nice. Always disappoint you, Jeff.
It always happens. It's not good.
I do feel like this E3 is like, I'm gonna like be, there's good things I'm happy about. Like just seeing Animal Crossing, I'm gonna be a happy person. I'm like, yeah, Animal Crossing. But then watch they don't do it. Like somehow they'll fuck it up. They'll be like, here's 30 minutes of fucking, I don't know.
Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Yeah. Well, no, because Pokemon Sword and Shield has its own.
I was gonna say Mario Maker, but I'm like, no, they did that too. So like, I really do feel like the Nintendo Direct is gonna be like new shit, you know.
Well, I know. I mean, it's because you still have Astro Terrain. We just mentioned 3. You have Animal Crossing. You have Fire Emblem, the 3 Houses. You have Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. So there's a lot of stuff in the back half of the year that they have not talked about.
But I think still new shit to like see footage of it.
You know, yeah, I mean? I wouldn't expect a ton of that groundbreaking announcements. But on the note of Nintendo and disappointing everybody, Super Mario Maker 2, they announced this week that you can have this online co-op and online competitive, just not with your friends.
Which, so weird. So like, what the fuck, dude?
I get the competitive one from their standpoint, though. I've seen like most games will just do like, this does not count.
Right. Why can't you just do like unranked or something? Like,
yeah. It's the co-op one I don't get at all, though. Like, why am I going to play co-op Mario with a bunch of random people?
Right.
I mean, I guess it could be fun, but it's like,
could honestly, it?
Like, sure, but like, I'm not defending it at all. I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand. I don't know. For me, like, me personally, it's like not the main reason I'm going to be playing this game. But it's just like, if you're going to include that, why would you not let you play with friends? Like,
well, here's the main thing, is that if this is the Wii or the Wii U, I would say, you know, it's Nintendo being Nintendo, but it's fine. But now that you're actually charging people for online access, it's harder and harder to justify not having the bare minimum of being able to play with your friends when I'm paying you $20 a year to access this service. And it's not like they have a gluttony of online games to begin with. So to have one that comes out and be like, oh yeah, you can play, just not with your friends.
I feel like it makes so little sense, and like they've got so much criticism that they might actually respond and like fix that. Because like, it just doesn't make sense, dude. Like, if you're gonna add online, let me put it with my friends. Like, if I'm gonna use it at all, other than like shared levels and shit, it's gonna be to do that. So,
yeah, the whole thing seems really weird. Look, we probably weren't going to do a ton of it, but the fact that the option isn't there is just disappointing.
I forget the saying, but there's a thing where it's like, yeah, I might not have done it, but I really would have preferred the option to. I would prefer to choose not to do it.
Right.
So yeah. On the same note, in something that's very, this is Nintendo. Smash Brothers got an update tonight to include VR support.
Weird.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that they took out the option to play with your friends, but
well, you can't play with your friends in VR mode. So you can only watch the computer play or play versus the computer.
That
so,
sounds like a headache.
Well, what I'm curious about is, and we've said this before with the VR headset, is because it's not an actual headset. It's something you hold over your face.
It's cardboard goggles with your.
Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, I don't know how you play Smash Brothers like that because I've never played Smash Brothers one-handed. I mean, it's out. People have played around with it. I'm curious to see impressions. I just know it's out. I've not seen anything more about it.
Maybe what you need to do is set up. You need to build a tripod like they had for the Virtual Boy. So that you can stick your head in it and then play that way.
I mean, anything's a possibility, but, you know, I am also just like, I can just play Smash Brothers without all this headache and be set with my friends. Yes, and I guess just sticking with Nintendo a bit more. Because I've always found Pokemon fascinating from a brand standpoint. So it's not necessary. It's not handled by Nintendo. It's handled by the Pokemon Company. So they're growing. This before E3, it's going to be its Pokemon Sword and Shield specific direct, and then this week they had a Pokemon. It was like a business future. I forget what they called it, but it was a press conference to kind of talk about the future of Pokemon. One, it's just a reminder. I'm so happy Nintendo doesn't do press conferences anymore. Not to sound too. I'm not. There's no good way to say but after that. So during this one, they announced Detective Pikachu 2 or a sequel or a continuation of the original games coming to the Switch.
Okay.
I wasn't really like everybody's saying sequel, but it says like it sounds like they're wrapping up the story, which to me sounds like it could also just be like Detective Pikachu with additional content at the end. They announced Pokemon. Crap, I forget what it's called now. It's like a Pokemon bank for the Switch and mobile phone, so you can take your Pokemon from previous generations, Pokemon Go, Pokemon Go Pikachu, and you can store them in one place instead of trying to, you know, like there's really no good way to get all your Pokemon into the current game.
Right.
They announced Pokemon Sleep, which is a spiritual successor to Pokemon Go, and it somehow tracks your sleeping habits and your sleep schedule, and there's some type of gameplay element included in that. They did not really go into that, or I stopped paying attention. One of those two happened.
Do I catch Pokemon in my sleep?
I honestly don't know. I honestly don't remember. And the other thing I was talking about was Pokemon Home, because the joke is it's Pokemon Go, Pokemon Home, Pokemon Sleep. So, yes. And then finally, which I actually am most excited about, is they announced something called Pokemon Master's Quest or something like that. And this just kind of takes all the gym leaders from all generations of Pokemon and the Pokemon you associate them with and puts them in a mobile game. And I'm really curious to see what that looks like because that, I mean, that sounds like a great idea. There's a ton of characters that you've met over the, what, 7 generations already.
Right.
And it's a great way to kind of reuse character models and assets that you already have.
Yeah, that could be good.
Yes.
What is this? This is my fault for not really paying close attention to it, but some people seem very up in arms over Pokemon being kind of whatever they announced being invasive.
I think it might be. I think it might be. It might be Pokemon Sleep.
Okay.
I think people just don't want to see. I mean, it's one of those things where like, your phone probably does it anyhow. Now, it's just like you don't want to call attention to it.
Right, and this is a specific product that is calling attention to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one of those things where like, when my phone gives me an ad based on something I buy in the supermarket that had nothing to do with my phone and make it paying attention to me. It's very creepy.
Right. Like sometimes I'll get in my car and it'll be like, it'll know on like Tuesdays and Thursdays, I drive into the city to go get my daughter. And it's like, it'll take you X amount of time to get to here. I'm like, that's really weird.
Yeah. How do you know that? Why do you know that?
It's pretty good at it, honestly.
Right.
But yeah. And I think that's it for Nintendo. We had the announcement of the new Call of Duty today.
Yeah. Modern Warfare again.
Yes. So if I'm not mistaken, this is the fourth game with the Modern Warfare name.
Yes. Sounds right.
Yeah, because there's Modern Warfare, there's Modern Warfare Reflex, which is the Wii version, and then there's Modern Warfare Remastered, and now there's Modern Warfare. I did not see this trailer, but a lot of people are excited that Captain Price
is back.
Yes.
As a zombie?
Wow.
I didn't know that Call of Duty had a character people knew, but I've seen some people say that
he's the British guy, right?
I don't know. Sure. He's a character who shoots a gun.
Yes,
that distinguishes him greatly.
I mean, how else would you know? I mean, he has a name. I guess that counts for something.
He's a gruff-voiced male.
Yeah. let's see, Captain Price. Yeah, he's the guy from the UK.
Okay, sure. I think the big thing, and this has something else was announced with this, is that it's cross-play. It will not have any games as services, I think. I forget what they announced about it. But yes, I think being crossplay is a pretty big thing for Call of Duty.
So it's crossplay like PC, Xbox, PS4?
I believe so.
Wow, that's huge. Yeah, that's the barriers are down. The biggest multiplayer game.
We don't even need separate consoles anymore. Let's just combine them all together. Call of Duty leads the way.
Just you can play on whatever you want. I can play on my Xbox, and we can all just chat through Discord.
But yes,
fair.
So it has no season pass, and yes, it is apparently cross-platform. So. We'll see how that goes. And I think Sony gets first content, the same deal. So
that makes sense. I mean, they have that deal and have had that deal for a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, I do think not at like, I mean, it's something that a lot of people have been pushing, but I do think not at Call of Duty has crossplay out of the gate at launch. Like, there's no way to put that genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, no, it's like, going forward, everything should have it. Like if Call of Duty can do it, any major game should have it at this point. You should be able to play Madden. You should be able to play FIFA, Battlefield, racing games, whatever. Should all be there now.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think the last piece of news I had was that the Ghostbusters game from 2009 is being remastered.
Yeah.
Somebody's happy about this somewhere.
I think the article I read said beloved Ghostbusters game being remastered for modern consoles. Was that game beloved?
By whom?
I don't even know if that game was remembered.
Like, it was like people liked it, kind of. Like some people liked it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people that liked it, but like,
it's
weird choice of words.
It really is. It's a weird choice of game.
Oh well, all right.
I owe you brought it up. I only mention it because it's a watershed moment for gaming, because now it means you can kind of remaster any game. It does not have to be top of the line. It could just be like any game you find in your library. Like,
and there you go, Earl. That's what you've been waiting for. They can now finally remaster Alpha Protocol for you.
Hey, Alpha Protocol is a much better game than Ghostbusters, I assume.
You know what?
I can't comment and play Ghostbusters, so.
There was actually an even more random re-release like a couple months ago, like on the Switch. They re-released for like $30 Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy from PS2. And I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? Like,
that's different. Because that's a great game.
Sure, but I don't think they even did anything with it, honestly.
They just re-released the original game.
Yeah, it's like $30. I'm like, okay.
We've remastered this, and by remastered, we mean we re-released it on a different system.
I mean, maybe they, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I think the floodgates was open once they re-released Cell Damage, because I don't even think people remember that was remastered. I don't know that it came out originally.
No, I don't even know what that game is.
It's a cel-shaded, kind of twisted metal-esque game where it's called Combat Racer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an obscure like PS2, GameCube, Xbox generation game that was re-released in like 2000 and I want to say something 2016 and then reported to the Switch this year.
Well, shit, I just want to go through my library now and like pick out some like obscure titles that I want remastered.
Yeah. Like I said, the floodgates are open now. It's no longer about top line games moving forward. It's about anything in your library being open for.
It makes zero, like, I don't know. Maybe it does make sense. Like, when is this coming out? This year or next year?
It's this year, I think.
Okay, so then maybe it doesn't make any sense. I was thinking, like, maybe if they were, like, you know, re-releasing it around the time of...
That was my other thought, too. It's like, oh, this would... I can understand, like, you know, because it's the unofficial Ghostbusters 3 to a lot of people. This would make sense if it was out around the movie. But it's in between the movie. I would say the franchise is kind of in a row right now. There's nothing really outstanding for Ghostbusters. Like, there's a new movie in the works, but if you aren't like one of those movie hounds, you wouldn't know because it's not out until next year. It's not like I mean, I hate to sound crude. It's not like any of them died recently, where it's like you can even get that bump.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Maybe I'll play it for the first time, though. So.
Well, I've also heard people say that the Wii version was slightly better because the Wii version was that it was a different developer and it had a more kind of cartoony art style to it.
Okay.
But I've not played any of them, so.
And I can only imagine you use the Wii remote to, like, shoot your ghost gun. The hell was that thing called?
The Proto Pack.
Yeah. I can only imagine you waving your arm around trying to catch ghosts. You know what? I don't want to play this. I'm good. Anyway. All right. So that's it for news. Let's jump into it. We have Hall of Fame inductions.
Yeah.
Have you guys ranked the listener?
Okay. I guess while you're going through that, since I missed last week, what are we doing with the listeners once? Are they all getting in, or is it the top one that gets in?
So we're going to vote. We're going to rank them. And then the 10th place one will get one vote, and first place will get 10. It's kind of like a tiered rankings, reverse order, basically, point system, and then the one with the most votes will get in.
Okay.
So not all 10 of these are going to get in. Only one of these 10, and then they can be renominated
again and again.
Yes.
Right. Okay. But our nominees are all getting in unless there's an
objection. Unless there's an objection, like major objection, which, I mean, Jeff may have one as he's now researched the history of Jungle Hunt. So, all right. Have you guys ranked
these? Yes.
Yes.
I have not done my homework, but I can fake it.
I don't know. So I'll read off the list here again. Mario 64, GTA 3, Metal Gear Solid 1, Metal Gear Solid 3, Final Fantasy 3, Persona 3. There's a lot of threes here. A Link to the Past, which is also a 3. Silent Hill 2. Super Smash Brothers Melee. Is that a 3 as well?
No, that's a 2.
That's a 2. And Chrono Trigger.
That's a 1.
Yes. Yeah. So we need to put these in order. And so that we can then kind of come up with the one that wins based on that. These are 10 good games.
Sure. Well, 8 good games.
Which ones aren't good?
I don't want to know. I'm curious about this too. I guess we'll find out what his number 10, 9, and 8 are.
Wow. I unfortunately did not put these in order either. And these are hard. These are hard to put in order.
Okay. How about to simplify this just a bit, and because I'm kind of lazy right now, we do the top 5 because I feel like there are just some that like.
Sure. We give her. Yeah, that makes sense. Instead of a
we 10. All hate Kojima. I mean, Metal Gear Solid 3.
I was about to say that's not. And not that I have anything against, and maybe, okay, I mean, let's go through this and see if any of these are in your top 5 that we need to talk about. And maybe I'm just speaking out of turn. Silent Hill 2.
No.
Did
we lose Jeff? Jeff died. Jeff died.
Jeff died. Anyway. All right, well, his votes don't count now.
Yeah, so,
see you, Silent Hill 2. Bye.
Silent Hill 2.
Persona 3.
I haven't played it, so no. I'm in my top 5.
The two Metal Gears.
9 and 10, baby. 9 and 10.
I'm going to say 1 is in my top 5.
The first one.
Yes.
Okay. And I could see that. Okay, this is the last one, and this can go either way. Smash Brothers.
Why is I don't understand why this one of all the Smash Brothers games.
I understand why. I can understand part of it, but like if it was a Hall of Fame, I'd go with the original.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, it's a better game, but like there's something to be said about being first, and I think the franchise more stands on what it is than any individual game.
Agreed.
Jeff lost internet, so that is why he disappeared. He just texted me.
Okay. So he will.
Go ahead. His votes don't count, so congratulations, Jeff.
All right. Yeah. I like Melee, but no.
And I wanted to be clear that it's not about disliking these games, but looking at this, just the 10 games, there is a strong strong consensus I would get for 5 of them being a first ballot, you know, nominee. Yeah. And I think those 5 that I named weren't them. So that leaves us with, if I get this correct, Mario 64, GTA 3, Final Fantasy 3, Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, and Chrono Trigger.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. So, do you folks have those ranked?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, what do you have?
All right.
Oh, go ahead, Tony.
So I have Final Fantasy at the bottom.
Okay.
Okay.
It's funny because this matches up. Those are my top 5. That's hilarious.
I have GTA 3 at 4, Chrono Trigger at 3, Mario 64 at 2, and Link to the Past at 1. I'm sorry that Jeff wasn't here to hear that.
You would have had to change that if
exactly. I would have had to say something different. Chrono Trigger. I had this affinity for Chrono Trigger all of a sudden, and at the top.
Let's see. All right, so here are mine. Final Fantasy III is outside my top five. It was Metal Gear Solid 1 at 5, Chrono Trigger at 4, Mario 64 at 3, GTA 3 at 2, and A Link to the Past at 1.
Oh.
Okay. Link to the Past is going to win, but just to read off mine, it was Chrono Trigger at 5, Final Fantasy 3 at 4, A Link to the Past at 3, GTA 3 at 2, and Mario 64 at 1. And I assume that it was slightly different for what you folks did, because I went based off of what I thought historically was a more impactful game. And I think A Link to the Past is a better game, but it's hard to ignore what Mario 64 and GTA 3 did for the industry.
Yeah. Yes, I did not go based on impactful, but it's a good argument. I don't know.
So if I got this correct, that would be Final Fantasy 3 at 5, Chrono Trigger at 4, GTA 3 at 2, I mean at 3, Mario 64 at 2, and A Link to the Past at number 1.
That seems correct. Yeah. All right. So Link to the Past as our listener choice does not mean that any of these are suspended from being eligible. They don't get voted out. You know, if we go through this like 10 times, and these are still much like in the Baseball Hall of Fame, they would have to be brought in by what's that committee that brings in the
it's a seniors committee.
The seniors committee would have to bring in Final Fantasy III or something.
Okay, I am going to try to make an executive decision and say that these 9 games can't be nominated the next time around, because you kind of already know the rankings that we have.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see a different set of games. They can come back around after that, but not the next one.
All right. So I actually like that. It makes it like we can open it up, but we'll be like, hey, so how do we do that? How do we open it up next time we do the nominations? We tell people, hey, these 9 aren't eligible.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Because you're going to, like, I mean, at some point it's going to be like, oh, these games aren't eligible because we already picked them anyhow. So just be like, these games are in. Like, maybe there's an actual, like, maybe we'll just put it up as part of the website. There's a part that's like, these are the ones that are in, and these are the ones that are ineligible for the rest of 2019.
Okay, that's fine. I am good with that. Just a quick update. It doesn't change how this played out, but Jeff said number 5 Smash, number 4 GTA 3, number 3 Silent Hill 2, number 2 Mario 64, and number 1 A Link to the Past.
Yeah. That's a good thing he was not here for when we disqualify Silent Hill and Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Well, he had Smash at 5, so it's fine.
He'll live this time.
Okay, so A Link to the Past is our listener entry this time around. Our other choices that so Jeff brought The Legend of Zelda. Assume nobody has any objection to, outside of the fact that we are now inducting two Zelda games?
That was going to be my objection. I get it, but then it's going to be like, I mean, because then the next time around it's going to be like Ocarina of Time, and it's going to be Breath of the Wild, and then it's going to be like half the Hall of Fame is going to be Zelda games.
It won't. It won't. We have too many Zelda games. I think we need to go in another direction next time.
Yeah, Jeff will bring Blazing Lasers next time. It's all right. how about we do it this way? In kind of the spirit of what you just proposed for the 9 listener games, we can't nominate a game from one of these franchises
until next year. Okay, that works for me.
So we can allow 2 Zelda games in, because they happen to happen on this first occasion. It should actually avoid it going forward, I guess. But it'll lock another Mario game from getting in. I don't think there was any fear of another Tetris game or another Jungle Hunt, as there wasn't one. So,
yeah, you never know. I mean, people might be like, Tetris Effect is really, you know,
hard. You're right. I'm not ready. Like, I love Tetris Effect. I am not ready to make that.
Well, I mean, I guess, and I guess to my point, since I did nominate Tetris, is that in my head, it was just Tetris. Like, there's a, like, it's just any version of Tetris, because they're all pretty much the same. Sure. Yes, if you want to be anal, you can do like Tetris Effect, you can do Tetris 99. But I mean, Tetris is still Tetris at the core, but it's still pretty much the same game. So, I mean,
there is bad Tetris.
Oh, yeah. and I think if it's something really radical, like Tetris Spare, where that's done in a 3D space, like, yeah, that's something that, I'm not saying that's a good game, but I'm saying, like, okay, but like, if you're going to say Tetris 99 or Tetris Effect, where it's just Tetris with fancier graphics, or even Tetris DS, it's like, it's still Tetris.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's also not Tetris 2.
But game. Yeah, and I don't know if I need to explain why Tetris. I mean, I think Tetris is a very simple one, but I mean, in brief, I mean, I think it's just one of those games that, I mean, it's a 30-year-old game that has not changed much, that still is relevant, still is good, it still is great. 30 years later, without
on anything, like, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I assume all of us grew up playing it on your Game Boy, but I remember playing it on, it plays on, like, not just smartphones, but like those little tiny Nokia screen phones that you had, and then it played on your T183s, TI-83s.
It's true.
It was the first game I got when they started releasing games for the iPod.
Yeah, it's been on. I mean, I can hardly think of a console or a handheld that hasn't had some version of Tetris at some point. Like we've noted before, I mean, there's what Tetris, Nintendo's done Tetris, Sony's done Tetris, Ubisoft's done Tetris, Sega's done Tetris. It's on any device. Yes, you know, there's different versions, there's unlimited spins, there's hold the next pieces. People add stuff to the recipe, but the core remains the same. It remains flavorful. It remains great. It remains fun. And that music is so very iconic.
Yeah. It's I no objection here. Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to object to my favorite game of all time being nominated, so.
I have no objection here either. It's a phenomenal title. I think it's the best Mario game. So I understand the people that believe that World is better. I think they're wrong, but
they are. They're very wrong.
Not very wrong.
Completely wrong. Undeniably wrong.
Sure. Right, yeah, we'll go with that. and then I brought the weird this time around. bringing Jungle Hunt, which was released in 1982. Earl, do you know of Jungle Hunt?
I have never heard of Jungle Hunt.
What did you guys play when?
I don't know. I was also released in 1982, so
it's kind
of. I was about to say I was not born in 1982.
I'm really old. Yeah, so this is one of the first games I had on the Atari 2600. It was also released in arcades as Jungle King, and there was actually a bit of controversy as Taito was sued by Edgar Rice Burroughs because the original release of this, the Explorer, he was looked a little more like Tarzan. He was bare chested, had a loincloth. And I believe they also had like a some sort of digital scream, like the Tarzan scream that was probably awful. I never heard it. I've only ever played it with the Indiana Jones type guy who's trying to save his girlfriend, mostly on the 2600. It's one of the first games to use parallax scrolling. Which is where like the background is moving, like it kind of creates an illusion of like the scene actually having depth. So it's kind of like a cool thing to see in 1982. It was also up as for the 5th annual Archie Awards, which you guys probably don't know what they are either. As I am really old, so it was Electronic Games was a magazine.
Yes, EGM. And,
no, not Electronic Games Monthly. A magazine called Electronic Games, and it very clearly. I'm looking up the Wikipedia. It is not to be confused with Electronic Gaming Monthly. They had basically what was the first video game of the year award, so well before the VGAs and whatever we're calling them now. In 1984, which is basically the 1983 awards, it was up for best science fiction fantasy coin-op game. And it lost out to Xevious, and it was up for best adventure game, where it kind of lost out to Adventures in Dungeons and Dragons.
But so why are we picking this game that didn't win?
It didn't win, but it was quite successful for Taito.
It almost won.
It almost won.
So why didn't we nominate the games that had won?
This is better than them, and they made a mistake. It's funny because Jeff asked how he could play it, and the closest I could come was the last time it was released was on the PlayStation 2, because Square has not been very good. Square now owns Taito, and they have not released a lot of their arcade games since then. But
maybe if they renamed it Final Fantasy Jungle Hunt.
That would be cool, right?
They'll then charge like $50 for it, but...
I would pay to play Final Fantasy Jungle Hunt. So I totally get if you guys were like, no, that game's stupid, but
it sounds of historical significance. Maybe slightly less historically significant than some other games that performed slightly better.
Because I was just like, I'm looking at screenshots, it reminds me out of a Pitfall, kind of.
So there's similar actually visually. I think it's a better looking game than Pitfall. Pitfall was more of a standard, exploration platformer. And this was more of a straight arcade side scroller. Weirdly went right to left instead of left to right. You were swinging on vines in the first stage. Then you swam with, crocodiles, and it was one of the first games to have a oxygen meter.
So we have dev to blame for that, huh?
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, you.
We all personally have oxygen meters. Why not in a video game?
And funnily enough, like there's bubbles, like, you know, kind of like in Sonic, but those bubbles, unlike in Sonic, couldn't be used to get oxygen. You had to swim to the top of the water to actually breathe. And then you dodge giant boulders, and then in the final scene, you kind of avoided these cannibals who were trying to roast your girlfriend over a flaming pot. And then when you win, she gives you a kiss, and you do it all over again because she just gets captured again. But yeah, I mean there's a lot of things here that led later on, but. I'm going to continue to bring the weird each time.
I mean, that's fine because, I mean, my fear with starting something like this, you know, is that you'd end up kind of like what we did with it's like you end up with your Marios and your Zeldas. It's like it's sometimes nice to honor those games that kind of, you know, like did something that was innovative but maybe doesn't get the credit for it or lost the time because, like you said, it's not been re-released in over... If you said PlayStation 2, what is that, 15 years now?
Yeah, 15 years. Let's tell you when the game, just about. So this game was, Taito Legends was released in 2005 on PlayStation 2 and Xbox. So 14 years ago was the last time this game was released.
Wow.
With what I assume are a ton of games here that probably did not get a re-release. The only... Like stuff like Space Invaders, which I assume has been re-released since then. But yeah, it was on a collection with Space Invaders, so that's a, you know, that's a the hit for it, right?
Sure. Let's put Space Invaders in the Hall of Fame.
If you want.
Next time.
Okay. Next time on Hall of Fame. That game's old. That game's
I definitely want that in before Civilization. Totally.
All right, we will keep that in mind when this comes around again, Tony. You're like, Civilization, but you said you wanted Space Invaders.
I lied.
That game, Space Invaders, is as old as I am, so it's really old. All right, well, are we good then with these five selections, or should we kick The Legend of Zelda out and not tell Jeff?
I'm all for kicking The Legend of Zelda out, but there's no grounds to it because it is a game that needs to be up there. It's just weird to induct two Zelda games.
Yeah, it is. But we will put a moratorium on inducting Zelda for the rest of the year. And Mario and Tetris and
Jungle Hunt.
Which, well, I mean, I could be weird and bring Pirate Pete, which was a reskinned version of the game.
Oh, no. That's too weird.
That was not as popular.
Too much
Wait,
weird.
That was not as popular as Jungle King, the game that none of us heard of before this.
Except me, evidently. And... All right. So there we go. The first... half of the class of 2019 is The Legend of Zelda, Tetris, Super Mario Brothers 3, Jungle Hunt, and The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past.
And this podcast took just long enough that I managed to fix my computer.
Yes.
Yay. Okay, so just as something to go forward with, this is bi-yearly, I believe.
Yes.
So when do you envision this second part to be?
November.
Okay.
Ish. Yeah, November-ish.
November sounds good.
Probably before Thanksgiving.
That could be our drunken Thanksgiving podcast.
Could be. Could be our
perfect
the Black Friday show that we record before Thanksgiving. Not on Thanksgiving, but yeah. So yeah, sometime in November. So about 6 months from now, though, that will be when we will have the next one. And the 9 listener suggestions that were sent, they cannot get in this year. You can renominate them next year. So bring us new stuff. like GTA 2.
I mean, I guess, yeah,
Final Fantasy 4.
You know what? I would like to meet the person who nominates GTA 2 over any of the 3D ones.
Yeah. I could see maybe the first GTA, but I don't like it. But
I'm honestly, I'm really curious how many people have played the first three GTA games.
Like you mean GTA 1, GTA 2, and then GTA London?
Yeah.
I've not played them all the way through. I've touched them.
Because I remember playing, I think, London and 2 back on the PlayStation.
Yep.
And thinking nothing of them. Like, GTA 3 is coming, like, oh, whatever. And then to become, like, the biggest franchise in gaming.
It's nuts, like, to see the origin of that.
Amazing. It's the same thing, kind of a Call of Duty, because I remember playing, I think I played 2. I think 3 was an Xbox 360 launch title. And I think it was between 2 and 3, Big Red one.
Yeah.
And again, they were fine shooters. And I remember there was actually a pretty close-knit community of Call of Duty 2 players on the Xbox 360. That I used to play with, because it was a fun game. It was kind of like this, it's weird to say now, it's kind of like this, it wasn't a huge shooter. You had your people, and that was, it was, and then it just kind of took off with 4.
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes when you look back at the history of these things and the stuff that's popular now and where they came from, it's insane. Like, it came from these small beginnings, and like Call of Duty spawned out of Medal of Honor, didn't it? Like, I believe that was like Vince Zampella and
the same guys, right? Yeah,
yeah. They were making like Medal of Honor Frontline, and then they broke off from EA, teamed up with Activision, made Call of Duty, and that became a massive success. And now they're making Apex Legends. For EA again. anyway, we'll be back next week. Earl will not. He is going on vacation for a month.
Yes, so sadly, I will also miss pre and post E3 discussions.
Is there anything you want to predict?
Or lay down? I imagine that a lot of people will be disappointed. A lot of people, I think, not a prediction. Definitely. But it's going to be, it's the year before a new generation, and that tends to be more subdued than anything. It's subdued, and it's also super vague. You'll get people announcing games, but they can't necessarily tell you what it's for, because like, even though these platforms are announced, Sony and Microsoft, for some odd reason, like to keep stuff close to their chest. So it's going to be stuff like, oh, this looks amazing. I wonder if this is on, and yes, it's going to be on next gen systems.
Yeah, anything that looks great, next gen.
I am super stoked to finally see that, like, we got word that the Square Enix Marvel Avengers game is going to be announced. Mm-hmm. Well, not announced, because we've known about it for 2 weeks. Show. Right. They're going to show it for the first time.
Revealed.
Revealed. So I'm super stoked to check that out. I think there was also word of a Darkness sequel coming out. Or a new Game in the Darkness franchise.
I can get behind that.
I am curious to kind of see if Retro shows up, because I know they're working on Metroid Prime 4 now, but they also had to have been working on something since Donkey Kong. You have... even though I give Jeff a hard time, Nintendo does have a big lineup this year. But yeah. I also imagine that, like, we've not heard anything from the Odyssey team in a year and a half. We've not heard from the Mario Kart team since ARMS, and that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Jeff
on Twitter predicted Mario Kart 9, so.
I mean, that's a possibility. It's so hard to predict with Mario Kart 8, because like, it's continuously getting support. Like they're adding stuff. They just added what the support for the one of the Labo kits
Oh, really?
recently and stuff. Not the VR one, but like one the pedal one.
Right.
So it's like, and it still sells well. I believe it's still the best selling game on the Switch.
That probably checks out.
So it's like, I guess the thing I'm thinking of is like, we've never seen more than one Mario Kart on the system. It's like, what does Nintendo do to change that to convince people to buy it? Because like Jeff was saying with Sonic Transformed, it's like, Mario Kart 8 is 5 years old now. The Switch version is 2 years old. And that's still a game that people go back to because it's still really great. What do you do to convince them to upgrade?
Yeah, you'd have to add something special to it. So maybe I need to leave it off to the side. You're right.
I'm also it leads to disappointment, but I'm also curious to see what EA and Ubisoft have. I mean, at Ubisoft, I'm naturally curious to see. EA, I'm just like, because I said this last year and I said the year before, it can't be as bad as the previous year.
Every
Oh, yes,
year.
it can. It can always be worse.
But they find a way.
Don't know. I'll be like the only thing I'm interested in out of EA is that Star Wars game,
Which one?
Jedi Fallen Order. Is that what it's
Okay.
called?
Yeah.
The Respawn
Yeah.
game. That's the only game EA has on their docket that I'm interested. I mean, obviously the sports games will be fine, but nothing else interests me there.
Yeah. And we've had this discussion before. I've said it before. It's still weird that one of the biggest third-party companies in the entire industry has one of the biggest IPs in all of entertainment, and somehow the best they can do is maybe offer up a game every other year. Like, going into E3, there should be several Star Wars games EA's juggling right now. Like you said, there should be a pod racing game. There should be a third person shoot. There should be a game that ties into the fact that the end of the Skywalker saga is at the end of this year.
Yeah, there's nothing. Like the closest they had was with Battlefront 2. They had like some weird story beat with Kylo Ren in the like after game that released.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like they, and it's sad that they did, but they were, there was much better support for Star Wars with the Disney Infinity stuff.
Yep. And that stuff was good. Was good. It was fun. And that was a steady revenue stream, up until Toys to Life took a total shit. So, oh well.
Okay.
Well, we will be back next week without Earl. Enjoy your trip, Earl.
I shall.
Enjoy your, traveling to Europe, so be careful. And
Come back in one piece.
have a good time. And next week, I will maybe have Warhammer Chaos Bane, which is a it's like a Diablo type game set in the Warhammer universe. So,
Yeah.
and Tony will have his computer.
Yeah, I'll have Total War Three Kingdoms, which is almost installed.
But we've been waiting on that one.
Yeah.
And you folks should have the new Pokemon Sun and Sword and Shield direct, so that would have a ton of information.
I'm sure we'll talk about that for hours. Hours.
Aren't you a Pokemon fan now? It's fine.
I mean, I think we like Pokemon. We'll just talk about it just to annoy Jeff.
This is true.
So Pokemon news next week, and it's the week before E3, so we'll be getting ready to say goodbye to Tony as he journeys to go do his yearly Paradox run, the E3.
Sure.
which happens to be in Philadelphia. But
just as a quick aside, I mean, I guess this is better served for next week. But when does E3 proper start? When are the press conferences?
So Sunday. But Microsoft and Bethesda, I believe, are on Sunday.
Oh, but that's just one I'm so fascinated by because
the hell do they have?
Right. Yeah, they pretty much got their own last year, and you can't like you can update people on that, but you can't announce game further out.
Elder Scrolls 7, yeah,
give me. they'll probably do a deeper dive into Doom, and that Wolfenstein game won't be out yet either, so we'll probably get more look at that. Yeah, like what else do they have? Like, I guess Arcane could have a game because Prey is now what, 2 years old. I guess they could have something to show.
Sure,
maybe. I don't know. It's going to be a weird one. This whole thing is going to be weird. Like, it's very uncertain with Sony not being there and EA kind of doing their own thing, and it's going to be an interesting E3. So. We will be back, and Earl, say goodnight.
Good night.